All right, we're ready to proceed. The next case for argument is 20-2102, Mobile Pay versus Unified Patents. Mr. Mort, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The court should reverse the board for two primary reasons. First, the board erred by failing to articulate a reasonable basis. By decoding email by an internet email server does not provide sufficient written description of a cloud service capable of decoding received binary data from a mobile device, according to the board's view of the third mechanism element of claim one. Second, the board erred by failing to articulate a reasonable basis why combining Tang and the Inui reference would have a reasonable expectation of success when combining the two references would render Tang's card reader inoperable for processing credit card swipes. That is, if the court's familiar with a credit card, you can either have a magnetic stripe where you can swipe it, or a digital IC that's embedded in there, or a chip that the card reader could read. If you combine those two references, the Inui reference adds a digital buffer, which would interfere with the analog transmission of the swiped credit card data to the device. The board provided no explanation of why someone would be motivated when it would disable the reference in such a way.
Mr. Warren, can I ask you about the written description issue? So
yes.
I understand that third mechanism requires uploading binary data to a cloud service for decoding, and that's been the undisputed construction is that it has to be capable of uploading binary data to a cloud service for decoding, where a cloud service is a service that's capable of decoding the uploaded binary data. I'm looking at all of your citations for alleged supportive disclosure of that claim element, and all I see is that there's internet connection using TCP/IP protocol. I don't see anything about decoding using cloud or anything like that. So where do you think is the best place for me to look to for finding that particular disclosure?
Sure, and to get, Your Honor, the immediate support would be the expert declaration that we provided cited on Appendix 743 to 744, and in particular, his paragraphs 45 and 46 on Appendix 744 describe that the iPhone has the capability of uploading email to an email server, and that when that email server would receive the email, it would then decode the email so that it could determine who the recipient of that email is, so that it could store and forward the email to the recipient.
Where is the original disclosure in the application?
Yes, as described by our expert, we describe the iPhone as the primary embodiment of the mobile device.
It's you're relying on the disclosure that says the present invention has been illustrated by way of example and not by limitation with Apple's iPhone.
That as well, but also that the iPhone itself. So when we disclose when we disclose the iPhone as an embodiment. The person skilled in the art knows that that comes with all the features and abilities of the iPhone, including the transceiver in the iPhone that's able to upload binary data to a network. So a person skilled in the art, perhaps I'll back up. Within written description, the requirement is not for us to give a detailed specific embodiment of all the detail that's there. It's we have to disclose to a person skilled in the art that our person was in possession of the invention. The invention with respect to element three is simply uploading data to a network. The remaining of the claim of the cloud service itself is not a claimed element. It is something that the phone transmits data to. What the cloud service does with that data, decoding, is an intended purpose. So if the cloud service decides to just destroy the data and not decode it, we still have the claimed embodiment, which is an iPhone with a card reader, and the board stated that's all required of that is that it's capable of uploading the data to the cloud service for decoding. It doesn't have to be decoded, but we certainly have provided evidenced in the record by our expert looking at what a person skilled in the art would see from the disclosure to say there's an email server that this phone is capable of uploading email to, which would be decoded. The board never addressed this support for our written description, and because of that, they have failed to articulate or to negate our claim that we are supported by the written description. So the additional piece too is the board has said that Tang gives us the knowledge, and I don't think anybody disputes it, is when an iPhone transmits data to the cellular network using GPRS encoding and further encodes email with TCP/IP encoding, that has to be decoded. Tang talks about encoding, the reverse operations decoding. The board never describes why decoding TCP/IP packets or decoding GPRS packets to obtain the underlying data is not decoding. It simply says it's not decoding. I think that's a failure on the board, again, to reasonably articulate a reasonable basis of why we do not have the written description support. I think that's their burden. So going on to Tang and the combination of Inui briefly. So the Tang reference discloses a mobile device that's connected to a credit card reader. The credit card reader is able to process a credit card that either has a chip or a credit card that has a magnetic stripe. And again, the timing of thinking about the prior art would be if you're looking at the combination, you have to be determining that Tang is prior art. We again contend it's not. But the time of determining the obviousness combination would be our filing date, which I believe was March 10, 2010. In 2010, the majority of credit cards did not have the chip. So the suggestion by the petitioner is that you would combine a buffer from Inui, a digital single bit buffer, in line between the credit card reader and the microcontroller to provide some kind of a buffering effect. The problem with that principally is that it would interfere with the microcontroller to receive any analog data from the credit card reader, which would prevent it from reading any or processing any credit cards that only use magnetic stripe.
Now, the board considered this argument expressly, right? And its response was that the test, you got to look at KSR, and it's not a bodily incorporation combination that's occurring here, and that you are requiring bodily incorporation, right? And how do you respond to that?
Well, it's confusing. So this is a shifting target for us. It was combined. It was argued in the petition that Inui and Tang would be combined. So we demonstrated, I think, quite persuasively that you would not combine these two for many reasons. So then we had a shift from it, and the argument was, well, we're not going to combine that exact buffer, but this gives you the idea to add a buffer. The problem is we don't know what buffer that is.
Well, in addition to what Judge Stowe referred to, I mean, the board had a fairly relatively detailed analysis, and it credited expert testimony from the other side in terms of the efficiencies would be added, and we're on a substantial evidence review, I think you would agree. So how do we dislodge that based on what I understood, as Judge Stoll, I think, did, that your argument was just that you can't bodily incorporate it all, and that's the problem. And that's, in my view, arguably been rebutted by the board, certainly under the substantial evidence test.
So I have a couple of responses. First, the only argument for a benefit presented was the evidence of the expert saying it would be more efficient. He didn't describe how this would be more efficient. He said it would be more efficient. So we believe that first, that's conclusory evidence that does not provide substantial evidence. Second, I think that we've demonstrated by the factual record that It's less efficient because it adds a delay of transmitting the data from the card reader to the device. Further, the other issue beyond substantial evidence is there's a failure to articulate a reasonable expectation of success. Even if there is a benefit to combining the two, which we don't agree with, if it renders the combination renders the primary reference inoperable for its intended purpose, that is a suggestion that the combination does not work despite a small benefit.
Mr. Hort, maybe, I'm sorry, this is Judge Prest again, but maybe you can illuminate me. I didn't see that argument raised anywhere in the blue. I know you raised it in gray, but it was that reasonable expectation of success argument argued in blue? And if so, can you show me where that is?
I would, Your Honor, I don't have the exact site before me, but I believe that that's the government of our argument, but perhaps during the reset.
Fair enough, thank you.
Yeah. And I think that I'm just at the edge of my rebuttal, so of my time.
Thank you. Let's hear from Ms. Marks.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Jessica Marks, representing Unified Patents in this appeal. There are two issues before the Court today, and both turn on questions of fact that were heavily scrutinized by the Board and decided in Unified's favor based on substantial evidence. First is the question of whether Tang qualifies as prior art, which depends on whether the challenged 706 patent can claim priority to its provisional application, specifically whether the provisional provides written description support for the claimed cloud service or decoding the binary.
Do you think that you could specifically address the points raised by your adversary on written description, specifically
yes.
Why he is the material that he referred to about the iPhone is insufficient?
Yes. First of all, I would note that the decoding the email argument is one that wasn't presented in the briefing. The arguments that were presented are somewhat similar, but there was pointing to an iPhone with an always-on internet and the use of the TCP/IP protocol. And the Board carefully reviewed the provisional's disclosure to find that it fails entirely to mention a cloud service for any decoding function. The provisional discloses embodiments where it's the mobile device that's decoding the binary data. The Board specifically considered and rejected MobilePay's arguments that the provisional's applications reference to an always-on internet that uses TCP/IP protocols to package data for transmission. That doesn't support the claimed third mechanism.
Can I just back you up for a second? Because you're saying a lot. I want to make sure I understand it all. And just slow down a little bit. But one of the things that I think you're saying is that packetization of data, packetizing and depacketizing, is in the TCP/IP protocol, where you're just putting together the bits for how they're going to be transferred. That is not encoding and decoding. Is that what I hear you to be saying?
That is correct, that the packetization and depacketization of data doesn't suggest the decoding of the encoded data that's in the TCP/IP packets. That is, there's a fundamental difference between depacketization for the transmission of data via the internet, which is at most what the provisional discloses, and the decoding of the binary data within those packets by a cloud service, which is what the claims require.
So decoding, just to make sure I understand, that actually takes the data and makes it into something that's differently understood, I suppose, would be one way to look at it. Whereas the packetization is simply how you're going to send data in different packages, if you will, along when you're sending it somewhere to the internet.
That is correct. And that is what the provisional lacked, but the prior art that we presented added to the and was able to find that element to be disclosed in the prior art.
And the board made this fact finding? Did the board make that fact finding that these were different?
Yes, they specifically found that Tang's disclosure was not identical to provisional. For example, at the appendix, page 60, they explained that different from the provisional application, Tang discloses a transaction server that decodes to recover the transaction data and payment details. That is, Tang is decoding the data to recover the data, not just mere depacketization of the data.
And then one thing your adversary said was that, I think I heard him say, that doesn't really matter because the claim is just requiring a third mechanism that's configured to upload binary data. And then it has a functional language to a cloud service for decoding. It doesn't matter what the cloud service is doing. That's what I understood him to be saying. How do you respond to that?
So he did make that argument down below, and the board considered it and rejected it, that it was not just a mere intended use, because the cloud service for decoding adds limitations. As the specification explains, the cloud service implementation changes the operation of the iPhone, because then the cloud service decodes the binary data and the phone doesn't need to, so the phone can be relatively dumb. That section was reviewed at the appendix, the board's final written decision, pages 18 through 19. And that section of the specification that explains how a cloud service for decoding the signals changes the operation of the entire system, that is found at Appendix 77, lines 15 through 22. And I would also note that the written description support was also analyzed by both MobilePay's and Unified's experts, and the board found Unified experts' testimony to be persuasive on what a person of ordinary skill in the art would clearly conclude the inventor had invented. There's been a lot of discussions on whether the iPhone could possibly have done this, if maybe email somehow does this. Again, this wasn't briefed, but the standard that we're dealing here, I think, is well articulated in the Lockwood case, which explains that it's not sufficient for purposes of written description requirements when combined with knowledge in the art that one would lead one to speculate as to the modification that the inventor might have envisioned but failed to disclose. And that's what we have here. We have an iPhone that we're arguing about whether it might have been able to work with a cloud service, but it's not clearly disclosed to a posita that that's what was actually invented. The embodiments that were reviewed in the provisional all rely on the receiving mobile device to decode the binary data, which requires a different configuration for the mobile device than is envisioned in the cloud service, which was added when the 706 patent was filed. Therefore, with this evidence and others, the board properly concluded that the priority date could not be relied upon and Tank did qualify as prior art.
On motivation to combine, I heard Mr. Mort say that your expert's testimony was maybe conclusory and just said things, it would make things more efficient to have the buffer. Do you think that's correct, or was there more elaboration?
No, it was not conclusory. The board considered several times relying on cross-examined testimony in addition to the deposition testimony of the efficiency, because it would lead to a more stable staging of the data because it improved data integrity. These were the reasons that the board relied upon. It was not just a mere conclusion that this would be obvious.
In what respect does it include? Does it increase the data integrity? Is this to allow more accurate transition from one format to another, or in what respect, or was that explained? Or is it implicit in the statement?
So it was explained that it allows one piece of data to be held in the buffer while a previous piece of data is being processed.
Right,
so that
I understand
way,
the buffering, but was it explained, and maybe this goes with buffering, it's just natural to a person of skill in the art, but was it explained that you have an increase in accuracy when you have an effective buffer?
The term accuracy was not reviewed by our expert. He relied on the language of efficiency, better data integrity, and more stable staging.
What does that mean in this context? I guess I'm trying to translate that into lay English.
Yeah, so in deposition, the cross-examined deposition testimony, he further explained, regardless of maybe some minor inefficiencies you might get by adding a buffer, because electronically it may add a small delay, it improves the efficiencies by not having to swipe the card twice.
Swipe the card twice, did you say? Okay.
Correct.
But what specifically about better data integrity? What did he explain about that? Why? In what way is it better data integrity?
What does that mean to...
Are you not hearing us?
No, I think I heard. So the question is, what does it mean to have better data integrity?
Yes.
Respectfully, I don't think that that was reviewed in further detail in the record that we have.
What would that mean to a person with skill in the art?
So I would, again, be speculating because our expert wasn't further asked to further clarify how better data integrity meant to him, but he did testify on how that would be a desirable trait, and that would be one reason why you could combine a buffer into the tank system. And after considering the expert testimony from both sides, the board credited our expert as having the persuasive position that a person of ordinary skill in the art would recognize. And they also noted the Dystar textile farben case as an example of there being an implicit motivation to combine when the improvement results in a product that's more desirable, for example, because it's more efficient. And so the board provided several rationales at the appendix at 46 and 47, as to how using the known buffer technique to provide the predictable results of bidirectional data communications would lead one of ordinary skill in the art to make this combination.
I suppose that, correct me if this is wrong, but I suppose that data integrity really has to mean either accuracy of transmission or, and perhaps and, relative speed of transmission, one of the two, particularly the former, right? Is that a fair statement of what the general understanding of data integrity would be?
Yes, I believe so. That would be my understanding, and I do believe that it was the former, the idea of having accurate data be transmitted by allowing a staging place for the data before it gets processed is what the efficiencies that our expert was addressing. And so relying on this expert testimony and the rationales and the well-known aspect of adding a buffer to such a system, the board ultimately concluded and credited our expert's testimony to find that a person of ordinary skill in the art would be motivated to make the combination that Unified is presenting. And if there are no further questions, I will rest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore?
You're muted, Mr. Moore.
Sorry, Your Honor, Judge, in response to the question you posed to me at the end for the support, if you would, in the blue brief, you would find it on page 37 and 38 when we talk about the reasonable expectation of success.
Thank you.
So I want to address real quickly the discussion regarding the benefits, so-called benefits. I think I heard the opposing counsel say that the data integrity would be that you don't have to swipe the credit card twice. The entire problem with that is that it will not work when you add his buffer to ever swipe the credit card. You can one time, 1,000 times, if you put a digital buffer between the for an analog line, it would not pass the analog data. So that is a false benefit. That's the problem, is it would interfere. So if the benefit that they're trying to get that would make the data integrity better, they render the system inoperable to get any data at all. So you can't make the system have better data integrity if you destroy the integrity. I think that that's the problem that we have here, is they can't find the buffer, and I don't think one exists that can buffer both digital and analog data. And the notion that this is a single-bit digital buffer that's going to retrieve maybe 100 bits of data from your credit card, and a bit of data in modern times is going to, or an integer or whatever is going to take at least 4 bits up to 8 bits. You can't start processing the received data until you receive everything, and so you can validate it. That is conclusory, throwaway terms that their expert used. Now, with respect to Tang, I would like the court to look at a couple of things regarding decoding, which is, if you look at the 706 patent, The board makes a big deal about that's the first time we talked about cloud service. Of course, we put it in quotes because it's a common term that lay people use, refer to an internet server. We provided the board with examples and patents of IBM and Motorola describing it. And it simply says that the cloud service could decode the data. Payne says that the data is encoded in GPRS packets and then decoded at the network. It doesn't go into elaborate detail of what kind of decoding is going on or any super requirements. And I think that the court just noted in our questioning that certainly when you process incoming GPRS packets to reassemble that data into the initial TCP IP packets, that's decoding. Further, when you reassemble TCP IP packets back into the original email at the application layer, that again is decoding. When you the email server receives an email and has to determine who is it from, who is it to, so it knows how to forward that along, that's decoding. We have evidence in the record of that. The board failed to address the evidence we provided. And with respect to substantial evidence, it's not sufficient for them, even if they were correct, to identify two or even three of four examples that we show that support the written description requirement for our claim. They have, we have the burden of production, we provided it. They have to provide some evidence or articulate for each scenario some evidence to demonstrate that we don't have the support. Simply saying decoding or depacketization, I think is the term. I don't think that's a term of art, but is their term, is not decoding according to the claim, is insufficient to meet the burden of under the APA. So for both of those reasons, and individually each, we believe the court should reverse, and if not reverse, vacate and remand.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.